Okay, well, the time is up. Thank you so much for your interaction. I hope the Word of God is really exciting. And you were excited by this. Okay, you don't arrange the chairs. Just turn them toward me. It's okay. You'll go back to the same group. So it doesn't have to be orderly, okay? The Word of God is exciting. The Word of God educates us and tells us how to live. And so far, we realize that we are a community. We are a family of believers. But this family of believers is a testimony to the others who are outside of the family. There are, if you are either inside or outside this family. So the local church is a testimony for the world. And we are testimony bearers in this world. We bear this testimony about Jesus' sacrificial love that transformed us. It's not only about knowledge, right? It's about transformation. And we come here to talk and to encourage each other for another week in the world. We want to let us more transform and into the image of Jesus Christ. This is the Father's purpose. Now, the local church is also a community of leaders, not only of only believers or family of like members. Each disciple must show a sign of servant leadership. But the local church is led by elders and deacons. The elders are the inspirational leaders of the church. The deacons are more administrative leaders of the church. And a leader, what's a leader? A leader is one who stays before others and he says, look at me, I'm your example. Do what I do. I try to walk like Jesus, try to walk like me. The leaders lead through personal example. And if you lead somebody and nobody follows you, that's not a leader. Maybe you take a walk by yourself, you know, recreational walk, but not, you're not a leader. So each category of leaders in the church, they have a ministry that is very well defined, and you are qualified for that mission. And ministry, and that's the same with the elders and deacons. Today we'll talk more about elders and the ministry. And next Sunday we'll talk more about the qualification, how they are qualified for this ministry. Now, the ministry in the book of Acts, chapter 20, you already read it. It was a long, right, text. But Paul is at the end of the third missionary journey. He's in Miletus, and he sends for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come, and he spent there in Ephesus 3 years. 3 years between 54 and 57 AD. Now we are in 58 AD, and he knows that he will never see them again. And he says, look, I want to talk with you. I want to give you a final warning about apostasy and negative effects of this apostasy in the church. The first duty of an elder is to pay attention to himself. This is what Paul said. Hey, God made you overseers for the church, and look, verse 28, pay careful attention to others, right? Nah, to yourselves. So the first duty of an elder is to pay attention about himself, and then to pay attention to the all the other elders. Why? He said, from this group of elders will come out the wolves, and then pay attention to the whole church. So the first duty of an elder is to pay attention to himself, then to the team of elders, and then to the, and interesting, it says to the whole church, not to the church, but the whole church. Sometimes when we read very fast, and we overlook this all. Elders must be careful and to pay attention not only to the favorite part of the flock. You know, I love you more than the others. I have favorites in the church. It's impossible. Paul said, love them all. Pay attention to all. No part of the church should be neglected. Another duty is the same here, is to shepherd them. Now, you know the Old Testament, all the princes, all the kings, they were called by God how? Shepherds. Shepherds of the flock, of the people. So to shepherd the flock was to take care of the healthiness of the sheep, to lead them to nourishment and to protect them, because there are wolves outside. And sometimes the wolves, they come from inside, from the leadership of the church. These wolves will come from among them, so they have to be very, very careful, because what they want to do is to attract, to bring disciples to their crooked and depraved way of theology or speech. This is in the text. And the second one, not only to shepherd, but to oversee. Now, oversight means to govern, to inspect. The word, actually, this is the meaning of the word. To inspect various places of the public life. Was not only in the church, but in that time was also outside the church. So Paul is using a word that they were used to. They knew what an episcopos was. He was in the public life of the empire, and they were inspecting. But it says here that these inspectors of the church, if you want to call them like that, you know, the elders, the inspectors of the church, they are put in this place by whom? By the Holy Spirit. Not the emperor, but the Holy Spirit. So the elders are called to continue to be in alert and to oversee and to see the potential needs of the church and to respond. Respond to these needs. They are there for the church. Why all of these? Well, first of all, could you go for the next slide? I think I put them there, these three reasons. Firstly, because they were made elders by the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit placed them there. Secondly, because Jesus Christ bought the church with his precious blood. And thirdly, because there is a real danger. The flock will die. If the elders, they neglect, the flock will die. So you see, it's vital. It's vital to have these elders in the church. To explain the term vigilance in a practical way, actually, Paul said, look at me. I was among you 3 years, and day and night. You remember this? Day and night. That it's a merism. It's something borrowed from the Hebrew language. Is all the time with the same intensity. Was 2 in the morning, was 2 in the evening. It doesn't matter. I was there for you. I was there to give you advice. And there is a warning here too. Paul warned them about the activity of the false teachers. From the beginning, Paul never lost a day warning them. And he said, now this is my final warning. Beware. Be ready. He was among them. He was one of the elders, but he was with more influence because he is the one who is keeping them accountable as a good elder that he is. He's giving himself as an example. Look at me. But you know what? You are also responsible for what you are doing and accountable So there are three things that we learn here: overseeing, feeding, and protecting the flock, the group of people, the local church. Now, the second ministry of the elders is to officially affirm the teaching gift of other elders. This is the second slide. Now, why is that? You have to understand Timothy. Timothy was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he was young. All the other elders were not. And they were looking down on him like, what are you talking about? You're not even married. What are you talking about? You don't know. You are in your 30s. I don't know. Or 20s. I don't know how old was, but I know he was younger. And he was kind of afraid to be the elder that God wanted to be there. And Paul encourages him not to be negligent with his giftedness. And the gift, when you look in verse 14 and 16, the gift was the gift of teaching. Now, the intimidation was based on his youth, right? So he began to be afraid and continue to neglect his teaching. He was like, you know what? You are older. You teach this, not me. You. And Paul said, what are you doing, Timothy? This is not the right attitude in the Word of God, in the Church of God. You have the gift, and all the elders, when they laid their hands upon you, they affirmed publicly that, yes, you are one of us. You have the same gift with us. So don't neglect your gift, but put it to work. The church needs you, Timothy. What are you doing? Well, Paul was like a father to Timothy, right? Like a spiritual father. I imagine Paul encouraging Timothy, but also spanking him. You're like, what are you doing here? Timothy must avoid also being to be disqualified. You know, Paul said, well, what you talk, you have to walk. But this is the second warning in the text, is what you talk, what you preach, you have also to live. So if you preach and live in the same time, don't be afraid of anybody. This is your gift. This is your position in the church. You should lead the church. So what is another ministry of elders is to affirm publicly, first of all, to observe, right? To observe, if somebody has the gift, to observe, to help, and then to affirm publicly that the other elders, they have this gift. They have to have. This is the difference between an elder and a deacon. They are able, and they also teach. They are there to protect the church spiritually and also theologically, doctrinally. The third ministry of the leaders is in the third text in 1 Timothy 5, is to lead the church. Now, probably when you read that verse, that text, it was like you stumble upon one word, rule. Rule. So the elders rule. Now, what does it mean? The verb used here means to set before, to set over, to superintend an activity, or to preside over. That is to rule, but also you rule, you preside over by being in front of them. Look at me. You lead by example. You preside over, but you also lead by example. Setting themselves as an example to the whole congregation, this is the call of the elders. They are there to be and to set an example. The church owes the elders respect for their ministry and office, but when they neglect their job and their family and their social life, and they neglect all of these, because when I said job, I'm talking about not the job in the church, okay? They're real, you know, the job, they pay their bills. And when they do this, when they neglect all of this, this is because of the burden of their ministry. If you want to be an elder of a church, this is a really heavy burden. And therefore, you don't have to be, you know, elder forever. You need to take a little bit of break, and then you do it again, and you take a break, and you do it again. Why? It's so exhausted. The effort in ministry was directed to the Word of God, and this is the preaching. This is the preaching that touches the heart, but also the teaching. You are not only preaching, but also teaching. Why is that important? Because the church is like educate, right? You proclaim the word, but then you educate the congregation. Why? You know why? Because there are enemies outside. They want to infiltrate, and then you need to know what the Bible says. You need to know the doctrine, and they guarantee the right doctrine in the church. They are also like dogs, you know, for a flock. They protect the flock. They are there, but not only protecting, and little sheep, little lambs, they don't know anything. No. They know everything because of the elders. They know, they are prepared, they are taught by the elders. And grammatically here in the text, actually probably you've seen that, there are three categories of elders. The ones who lead, the ones who lead well, and the ones who toil. Well, all three lead. It's not difference in leadership. It's a leadership. It's a difference in the effort. If they give too much effort and they are burdened with that, you have to give them double what? What was that? Honor. What is double honor? Well, honor is you honor because they the position, but then the double honor is because sometimes when they neglect their job, you need to give them some money. That's the thing. You don't want them to die. You don't want them their family to poof. Because the wife said, "Where you have been?" Well, we had an elders meeting. Yeah, but you had that 2 days ago too. Yeah, but we have a problem. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Paul said you need to give them a double honor. One is that you honor them, but also you honor them with some help, financial or in any type of help. So I'm coming back to the ministry. What's the ministry? To be an example, like spiritual example for the whole congregation. Now, the fourth ministry of the elders is very complicated, is in James. When you read the James passage, you thought, oh my, what is going on here? Well, in AD 48, when this letter was written, James addresses a problem that was among the churches, and the ministry of the elders was so important. Why I'm saying 48? Because this predates all the other texts that I told you before, Acts and Timothy. This predates everything. Actually, this is the first book ever written in the New Testament, James. So it's so interesting how it's so practical. I love James. But one of the things that he talks about is when he talks about elders, he talks about the plurality. It's always plural. It's not only one. If you have only one elder, that's not good. Okay, at least two. One, no good. Well, it's a good start. But you need, that elder to do something else, to affirm other elders and to start bringing them in the team. So it's always used in, and here in James is used in plural, but also is articulated. That means plurality and identity. They are the brothers who serve as elders in the council of elders of the church. And interesting, they are from the local church. They are not borrowed. They are not transferred. we don't have an elder, but please, they ask another church, please, would you like to give us for 6 months an elder? That's not an ideal situation. When a Christian, so the main idea in the text in James is this. When a Christian failed to confess a serious sin, you know, we are a family. And it says that we have to confess sins to each other. Well, not to everybody, you know. Don't come here and start to confess serious sins. This is not the way we are doing this, right? It's not like public. But you go to people that you trust and you say, look, this is for me. I battle with this. Please, would you like to pray with me and for me? I need you. I need you. And this is the way the church functions. But let's say that Christian, I was like, you know what? I don't want to do that. We have a problem in our church. Nothing is confidential. And if I will tell them, then the whole church will know. No. From the beginning, we have to say this. Confidentiality is really important when we do this, okay? But this Christian has said, no, I can do this. It's okay. But God shuts that person in bed. And it's like, you know what? Something is wrong with you. You stay here. And from that bed, probably this is even the deathbed. I don't know. It's serious. So, okay, parenthesis. If you have a flu, don't ask for the elders of the church, okay? Take the medicine. You don't ask them, please come in and, you know, pray for me and anoint me. No, don't do that. But if it's a serious sin and you never said anything about that, it's really secret, you know what? Call them. Why? It's so important. It says the elders will ask for a full confession. Number one, full confession. They will anoint with olive oil and they will pray. By doing this, the person will have forgiveness of sins. Not because they, you know, the elders like, okay, you are absolved. No, we don't believe that, right? But because that person confessed. This is the weight of the passage is in this. The person confessed the sin, they prayed for the person, and now it's God's turn. He will forgive the sins. And if he wants, he will bring the healing. And I hope God wants that, because actually he pushed that person so hard and the tension was so tough on that person that this person said, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to sit here. I want to be free. Although the anointing was used to strengthen the faith, the main thing here, the main thing is the center is the prayer. Forgiveness of sins, by the way, is plural there, is not singular, is plural, is central and vital for the sick person. Healing is the desired outcome, but actually more important than that is the forgiveness of sin. That's why you start with what? Confession. Full confession. So, due to the complexity of this work, of this ministry of elders, the ministry of the elders in the local church implies love, compassion. You know, it's like when they hear the sin, it's a serious sin. It's really bad. Like, well, I always thought that something is wrong with you, man. You don't want to hear that from the elders, right? Like, lack of compassion. Like, yeah, I thought so. Now it's revealed. We know what's wrong with you. No, it's like, oh, brother or oh, sister, we are here for you. We cry with you. We understand. We lived that in our past, but we confessed our sins, but you didn't. Now we are here for you. You see, love, compassion, and more than that, spiritual maturity. You know, and the elder go back to his wife, and his wife asks, so what's up? What happened? Oh, you don't know. Oh, my God. You know what I've heard today? That's not an elder, right? This is not a good example of a Christian, of a mature Christian. You don't want to hear that. So their ministry, it's, I don't know, it's filled with love and compassion. They love their church. They love their flock. It's not like they don't rule like dictators in the flock. And I was like, I'm the best here. You obey and shut up. No. They are there to feel with the flock and to lead them toward Jesus Christ. And the last text that I chose today is 1 Peter 5:1. It's so interesting. What do I have in there? 4. Oh my God. I think I gave you the wrong text. Oh, nice. Oh my God. Oh, forgive me. Probably it's a good text, but no, it was not the proper, was 5. Oh, okay. Let me read. Okay. It's so interesting. I love this text actually. So 1 Peter 5:1-5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering, hear that? Not domineering over those in your charge. Do not intimidate them. Do not dominate. Okay. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the right text that I intended. I'm sorry, it's... Peter addresses here a quality of an elder. Therefore, he talks about the elder's office. Anybody who is in this office, they have to be like this. Peter says that he is in this office too. I'm an elder like you. I'm all of, and, but now, look, 1 Peter, where is that? 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are exiled, elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 5 areas. You see, he's not talking with the elders in a town, a local church. No, this is universal to him. He said, I'm an elder like all of you. I'm not by transfer. I'm like you. And I'm from the same team with you. The pressure is really tough. You see that? He said, you know what? God gave us this flock. God gave us this job to shepherd His property. This is His flock, not your flock. This is God's church, not your church. And if the tension is not too high, you know, he added something else. There is a chief shepherd. Who is the chief shepherd? Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus, thank you. Well, what a beautiful name, right? We sang about that. This is the center of our church, Jesus, not the elders. They have to answer to Him. He is the chief shepherd. They are only under shepherds. All the elders are under shepherds. And when Peter reminds the elders of their duties, actually he is using 6 imperatives. These imperatives are shepherd, be subject, clothe yourselves, humble yourselves, be sober-minded, be watchful. 6. In the biblical literature, imperatives are understood as a command when it comes from the higher to the lower. But when it comes from the lower to the higher, it's not a command. It's an plea. I implore you. When we give commands to God, imperatives to God, actually, when you use verbs and imperatives, we say please before, right? Why? That's a plea. Please, Lord, I implore you to do this. But here, Peter is not in this position. He's not saying, please, I implore you, brothers, do this. No. He's using, because like Paul, he's keeping them with accountable. Accountable. He's kind of, this is the main idea. Like Paul, he is also, he's using his influence toward them. Although he's a part of the same office, elders have no the same influence in the group of the elders. Paul commands to Timothy, and Timothy designates elders in Ephesus. Paul commands the elders in Ephesus. Peter commands to all these elders. Paul commands Titus, and Titus designates other elders. So you see, it's not only one situation. It's all over the New Testament. Peter reminds the elders that the ministry in the local church includes overseeing the church, leading through personal example, everything that we... But now we are not talking about Paul. We are talking about Peter. That means Paul and Peter, they speak the same language. Right? They are not... They don't fight with this. They know it's the same thing. We have to do the same thing. Now, there is another thing that he adds here. Now, who are the young ones in the text? Because the text says... And when likewise, you who are younger. Now, it's a lot to talk, but it talks about the new elders, not about the young adults, okay? No, he talks about the younger elders, how they treat the older elders, and how the older elders treat the younger elders. And there is only one word. Do you know what that word is? What's the word? Humility. Humility. You look at the other like it's above you. That's humility. But now, how you deal with that? And Paul says this. Oh, sorry, Peter. Peter says this. Likewise, you are younger. Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves. Now, you have to understand the word here means, so the slaves, they had only one type of clothing, and they were wearing aprons. When they worked, they were wearing aprons. You can wash that, you know. And so, actually, the text says this. Tim, come here. He's younger. So he said this, clothe yourselves. It's like you tie the knot of the apron to a younger, and when he does that, he does the same thing to you. You're doing it, or is he? What are you doing? Okay, so you understand the situation? It's one to the other, the younger... The younger elders ask the older elders, please, could you help me to be more humble? And the older ones, they turn to the younger ones and they ask, could you help me to be more humble? I love this. Now you talk about how elders, they not only supervise each other, but also they look forward for humility. They want humility. They cannot lead. They cannot rule. They cannot be examples to the others without this. They cannot. Therefore, they practice humility. I mean, I'm not talking about they don't, okay, let me be straight. They don't humiliate each other, okay? I'm not talking about that. That's wrong. They ask, they want to be humble, and they appreciate when something happens, and yeah, okay, that's no problem. We are here to learn. So, shepherding, overseeing, leading by example, again, and all in humility. By the way, this is what I love the most. The elders are those who trigger humility in the whole congregation. They do this in their team, but then when they go out and they rule, they lead through example, they go to any other than say, okay, I want, can you help me? This is the humility apron. Can you help me? I cannot do this by my own. Can you do that for me? My conclusion is this. A summary of ministry of elders in the local church includes overseeing, shepherding, by feeding and protecting, observing the congregation, affirming the teaching of other elders, leading spiritually the church by personal example, with compassion, with love, with humility. And they will do this if they are qualified. Next Sunday, we'll talk about this, how they are qualified. And maybe you thought, okay, brother, you wasted a Sunday to talk about the elders. You could talk about anything else. No. You know why? We are talking about the most mature people in the congregation. But that means you are like that. You are the same. They are only an example. They set an example. But each one of you, males and females, all of us, brothers and sisters, we want to be like that. You understand that? And when they practice humility, you practice humility. I want to be part of that church. And let's make Crossroads that church. Huh? What do you think? Elders always work in teams. They are plurality of elders. And it's healthy to have that plurality of, they minister and they lead the team. But like every team, there is an elder, and like a captain, like a leader. But he is there to only to help them, and they help him. It's the same thing that we talked about, and we explained, you know, about the leadership, the future leadership of the church. And they are the ones who initiate humbleness in the congregation. The ministry of an elder is really demanding. And elders toil and are exhausted. Believe that. It's not they are only the boss of the church. They are not. They are the servants of the church. As servants, they really work. The local church should double honor them. They should minister with joy. When you have this, you have a congregation that thrives. And also, elders designate elders. They observe, they affirm. There is an entire process, we'll talk about this. But they start the process. They are the ones, they are trained, they have a trained eye to see something in this and that. So, what do you think about the elders? Don't tell me. Turn again in the small group. And after you read sorry for the wrong passage again. Forgive me. And after you've heard this, what do you think about this? Go back in the small group for 7 minutes and talk again. And then we'll have the announcements and the last song. Okay? If you want to share, if you don't want to share, don't share. But if you want to share something that you learned today, something that was interesting, something that stood out to you, something that maybe this helped you to understand something else, I don't know. Let's talk.